And now we're going to turn to Ralphie Avitia. And Ralphie is with the Fresno Brown Berets. And I know Ralphie's been working a long time around police issues, policing issues, and had a very, had a very successful event yesterday. Tell us about what happened yesterday, and just in general, what are some of the issues that you've been working on?
Yesterday, along with Black Lives Matter and other grassroots activist groups, we were able to present something to not the police department, but to the city leaders and the people in charge, an idea that's really not a new idea. And the idea was that police hold back from shooting. That should not be their first, inclination to reach for the gun or to have to reach for deadly force, use deadly force. So yesterday, after, I would say, years of work, we proposed that the police change their policies, that they adopt a policy. We're calling it the don't shoot policy. And some people have a problem with that title. But in actuality, that's purposely done because police, by law and by training, are supposed to de-escalate whenever they stop somebody on the street. But as we've seen in the last couple of years, especially in the last 2 years, the shootings that have occurred in Louisiana, in Minnesota, in New York, the police involved killings. And then the retaliations that we saw in Dallas and in other states, and in California included, we believe that more than ever, it's time to start looking at the way we police. And so yesterday, we were basically presenting an idea and putting it forth that we want to see done to not just save the lives of citizens at police stop, but policemen themselves. And that's why we're calling it the Don't Shoot Policy. What we had was a very successful turnout. And the difference between what we've done in the past is that in the past, it was the Fresno Brown Berets occupying the offices of the city manager, Rudd. And in this case, it was different. Yesterday's activity or press conference brought with it the full force of not just the Fresno Brown Berets Black Lives Matter, but also Peace Fresno, undocumented immigrant rights groups. People from all walks were there. And that was powerful because I think people get it. And ultimately, we believe that it's a more humane way to do policing. I spent 10 days in Cuba and witnessed policing totally different than what I've ever seen here in California and in the United States in general, and even throughout the world, because I spent 5 days in Mexico, and that too was an experience. So yesterday's press conference was a day to put it forth, put it out there, and say, we know there's a new mayor in Fresno. We know that people want to see some change. Well, let's see some change. Here's some concrete work that many of us put together. It's a couple years of work now, so we thought it through, and here it is.
So specifically, were there other demands besides the don't shoot policy?
Definitely. The don't shoot policy, the crux of it, carries with the demand that they contact anybody from mental health professionals, any kind of negotiator or people in the mental health field. And if somebody's having an issue, if police especially know that this person is mentally is not all there or is a harm to themselves, 5150 type, that they don't shoot, that they hold back, and it doesn't matter how long or the cost, that they reach out to mental health first. That was one of the things we had on there. Another thing was a citizens review board that would oversee not just the policing that goes on, but the spending that is done, and in association with our schools and other types of funding that the Fresno Police Department, for example, and other law enforcement agencies get. This is critical because there's a lot of funding that sometimes we don't realize the Fresno Police Department is getting or other law enforcement agencies are getting. And some parents in the schools have expressed concern that after school programs are becoming policing programs because the money being used for those purposes. There was that. There was also the drug testing of police officers. And now this is one we know we're going to have a problem with because of the Police Officers Bill of Rights in California, which protects officers and shields them from a lot of, I guess you could say, accountability. But what we're saying is that they be drug tested and that they be, checked out to make sure and to assure the public that their motivations weren't done because of other than to, for example, they fear for their safety, not based on hate or bias, etc., or psychological or drug-induced state, because as we know, some officers, if you do research, you'll find out some officers were not in the right state of mind, and others may have also been using drugs while on the job. And if whether it be steroids or whether it be illegal substances, it doesn't matter. The public has a right to know.
Right. And I know there was a, I don't know if you had a chance to look at it yet, but in the Community Alliance, there was an article that came out sort of looking at, you know, some of the statistics around the local Fresno police, particularly in terms of ethnicity and race. So do you have any specific, you know, concerns in that area?
Yeah, the statistics, and I'm not sure if you're talking about Matt.
Matt Jendian's group.
Professor. Yeah, he's actually with us. He met with us a few times while we were preparing this, and mm-hmm. he put together these statistics. And what's interesting is that the rate of stops, the population, number one, and whether it be Latino, or quote unquote Hispanic, or Black, and yet the you know that those populations either being high or low, but they don't correspond with the number of times you're stopped for the type of crimes you're charged with and arrested for. Fresno is no different than some of these other cities who've been found to be, I guess you could say, disproportionately abusing people's rights, if you want to just put it out there. And these statistics were fascinating because they're not something we made up. They are actually from the Fresno Police Department. Matt put it together, did a really good job, and I believe he's one of the academics with us. I think one of the best things about yesterday's action was it included professors, academic scholars who did a lot of the research to make sure that we were on point, and his was those statistics were important to our argument, and moving forth, those are some of the statistics we're going to keep using.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and I believe it did show that there was a disparity based on race mm-hmm. in terms of the kind of attention that people got from law enforcement.
And since you bring up statistics, what's interesting is Gloria Hernandez has been keeping a tally of officers who've shot people throughout the years, and there's more than five police, at least I can say with certainty, more than five people who have shot more than two people, including killed them, and are still on the force today. So they're called repeat shooters who are still on the force today.
So there's at least five of them.
At least, and there's probably more. We only know from the numbers we've received of who they are, but there's probably more.
And I know there's been a lot of concern and frustration around the police auditor position, that position came about because of pressure from the public, and has been probably for a lot of people not adequate.
Correct.
You want to talk about that?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, and that was one of our demands there too, is that because I'll backtrack here. 2 years ago, prior to the Michael Brown shooting, they shot a man on the west side 16 times, and he was killed. He was unarmed. He actually needed help. He was quoting the Bible. He was drunk, and he didn't have a gun, and he was far enough from the police officers. So we occupied the place and finally said, we demand a meeting. We're not leaving until we get one. Finally, Rudd, city manager, met with us eventually. And some of the things we learned in our meeting was that the police auditor we have, and we already knew this, they have little power, and in many cases it's very superficial. The people, Ellie Bernstein, others who fought for the police auditor mm-hmm. and other groups who fought to get the police auditor, did an awesome job to bring it to attention to the public. But the city itself, or I'm not sure who's doing this, it's got to be the city, they do not give the police auditor subpoena power, which means that unlike the police officers who can get evidence, he cannot. And that's like a dog without a bark without a bite. A dog can bark all it wants, but if it has no teeth, you're gonna laugh at that dog. And that's what the police department is doing with the police auditor. He's got no bite. And one thing we learned with the current police auditor, because he's not the original one, is that he actually supports people's rights. But he admitted in front of Jerry Dyer at a meeting we had that he has no power. He needs more power. They make him sit outside the meetings. He can't be inside. I mean, there's all this, I guess you would say, if they would be more If they give more powers, it'd be more transparent for the public, and we trust more in the system. So that is one thing. And by the way, great guy doing the job. We met him, we worked him, but he doesn't live in Fresno, and that's another concern for a lot of us. Like, he's not even around. I mean, he's put out some good information, but we have concerns for the amount of money that's being paid. That the person is not nearby to see what's going on a daily basis, probably on a weekly basis.
Yeah, and I know that when I read in the Fresno Bee today that the new mayor, Lee Brand, is talking about, I think there was a mention of a couple things on this issue. One was having some sort of a citizen advisory board. And another thing he was talking about was community policing. Should we be hopeful about those things?
I've heard the term community policing for years now. I've been here 30 years, and Dyer is supposedly instituting it here in the Tower District. Now, when it started up, we had a lot of complaints from homeless people, from people who lived in the Tower, who've been here for forever, who are artists, who just, I don't know, maybe didn't fit the profile of somebody who should be in the Tower, but they were living here. They've been here. So we have concerns. I'm not excited about what he's saying now. I want to see this put into effect and actually done, realized. Concrete actions versus talk, because we've heard the term police community policing, and I know other law enforcement across the country, they say that's the model to use, but until we see it done, it's not going to happen. And unfortunately, with the Foster case, Keith Foster, number two in command at the time when he was arrested for a conspiracy to sell drugs, and he was number two to the chief of police of Fresno. When that occurred, the community policing supposedly took off again. But those are distractions that were happening, and I'm not sure how quick the city is gonna be to actually start doing things. I we're gonna keep the pressure on them, and if Lee Brand is serious about changing the face of Fresno, because right now Fresno has a really bad reputation. You were talking earlier with the artists in the room about Fresno's reputation with the artists, and it's true, we have a vast amount of artists here and culture, and we also have a bad reputation in the East Coast for shootings and in the Central Valley in California, and people always shake their head when they look at me, you guys got to deal with that police department. Jerry Dyer's been on the History Channel, I think it is, and gangs, the show that they show gangs all over the country. They focus on the Bulldogs, and they make Fresno look really horrible. And I'm thinking, this is not Fresno. We're not a bunch of, savages out here killing each other in this manner. This is not what we are. But it looked really good for him and officers. But I think it really made Fresno look bad. Because even gang members who I met throughout the years said, why, shake their head and say, wow, they know Fresno was that bad. And I go, no, the people are not that bad. It's not, that's a TV show. It's not reality.
Okay, and we're talking to Ralphie Avitia, who's with the Fresno Brown Berets, and we're talking about issues of police misconduct. So I'm going to ask you to do a thought experiment here, Ralphie. What would community policing look like in our little utopia of Fresno?
In our little utopia, speaking of utopias, community policing would look like this. And I reference it to an experience I had this summer with police officers in Cuba. Number one, police officers would treat people with respect, talk to them with respect, with dignity as a person. That kind of basic change in how people interact, that would be huge. Because I'll tell you right now, as of just last year, I'm a high school teacher. I have everything from a bachelor's, a master's, and a law degree, and yet police officers will stop me, pull me over, and because of my appearance, I get called dog, homeboy, homie, and I'm like, what are these cops thinking? Because you see a Mexican with tattoos who happens to be a teacher just in the summertime, he's off duty. Number one, dignity and respect. Talk to people in that manner. That would be important. Don't talk down to them. I saw the police officers in Cuba when they talked to people. The people also were used to this kind of interaction where the police officers were there to direct traffic, make sure people weren't breaking into it, and theft wasn't occurring, and they respected the police. I think that's one of the problems we have here in Fresno and across the country, is where sometimes police officers do not know those communities. They talk to them in certain ways that are demeaning or degrading or humiliating or embarrassing. Just recently in Texas, I think Fort Worth, a police officer, a woman calls the cops to deal with the situation where a man assaulted her son, and the cop starts lecturing her about how come she didn't raise her son not to litter or something like that. And I mean, it was embarrassing, but that's in our utopia. It would also include police officers coming to a situation, dealing with the situation, taking a report, but also not having to draw their gun, even if, like we discussed, there's a situation. We've seen too many people, and we've dealt with many family members, some who were there yesterday, who their number one complaint is, I called the police because my son was threatening to take his own life. The cops came and killed my son. Mm-hmm. Where's the, so trust has totally been broken down there. That community policing is also going to include the top people, from Sheriff Mims to the chief of police, Dyer in this case, not referring to people as gang members, thugs, and playing politics on the airwaves when something occurs, because that's
sort
another
of playing
thing.
A Donald Trump using it, racism,
correct,
for political gain.
Yeah. So our utopia would include people at the top who do not do that. Because it really demonizes the entire community, and now all of us don't trust, now all of us are fear, and it's sad because it's generational, and it's going to take a long time to break that cycle there. So
okay,
involve more.
We're running out of time. We're talking to Ralphie Avitia, Fresno Brown Berets, talking about police misconduct and how police could do good. 30 seconds, what can people do to help out?
I think people should definitely know your rights. So we have the internet, log on, know your rights, start learning what your rights are, and also get to know your neighbors. Before we even have to call police, we should know our neighbors. That way, that kind of trust is built up, and we don't need the police. That's another thing I learned in Cuba.
All right. Thank you very much. Thank you for listening to Stir It Up on KFCF Fresno 88.1.